Elder Law Attorney Kerry Peck is in our studio now. Peck Ritchie is the law firm. You hear us talk about that. We invite him in the studio sometimes to answer your questions. Hi, Mr. Peck. How are you?
Wonderful, John. How are you today?
Pretty good. I just made our friend Peggy's jaw drop here when I was talking to her about the cost of elder care, which you and I don't talk about that much because that's not really what you do. You help people with legal problems, but even if I don't have any legal problems, you still have the cost of assisted living, skilled care, dementia care. I mean, there's the holy trinity of extra costs for your parents down the road. And it's just crazy, isn't it, how expensive it is?
Well, regrettably, it's stunningly expensive. And I'm a proponent for your listeners to consider, and I get no commission, long-term care insurance, potentially. But you have to buy it before you're sick. Take a look at it, and at the end of the day, when you hear the kind of numbers that you just related, John, this is an insurance that you really want to think about buying. The cost of care is skyrocketing. It's clearly not going down. Doesn't matter whether you go to the internist. Doesn't matter whether you go to have your blood drawn. The cost of care for everything in the medical world is going up.
Yeah. Well, my parents go to a nice place in the suburbs, but it's not the nicest place. I mean, it's not luxury care. It's just a nice facility where they stay. And I will say the caveat is that my parents both require, they grade you on the level of medical care you need while you're living there. So it's not just the rent and the food. It's then, do they have to administer medicines or how much extra help do they have to give you? And on a scale of 1 to 6, my parents are at a 6. So it's a premium. But they will pay this month $19,000 to live. So we found a cheaper place, and that will only cost $12,000. But at the cheaper place, if they have to go to skilled care, where maybe two people would assist them to move about, then the cost there for the two of them would be $23,000 a month.
Whew.
My parents aren't rich. They never worked in the private sector. They weren't business owners. Dad was in the Air Force, and he was a counselor at the college. Mom doesn't have a pension of any kind. So, you know, they save like that generation does, and now we spend their money down. And that's just the way it goes. And we're lucky because, as it turns out, they saved enough, and with pensions and Social Security, while they lose money every month, of course, they will... the money will last. But what about all the people for whom it doesn't? Should the U.S. government, I wonder how we compare to other countries, or does anybody ever talk about how do we help families afford this sort of thing? My parents are actually lucky, and they're paying $20,000 a month.
Well, they are lucky. The there is a program out there called Medicaid, and people that virtually have no assets can qualify. It's difficult to qualify. There's a lot of paperwork. And frankly, the facilities that provide care exclusively on Medicaid are not the kind of facilities your parents are in.
I got a question for you from one of our listeners.
Okay.
You may have a question for Kerry. Not about what I just talked about. I can't help but share that, though. Just to sort of red flag everybody, plan accordingly. And one last note about that, Kerry. You said long-term care insurance. Terry Savage, the money lady that comes on, is a big advocate of that as well. My understanding is that some of those plans, though, you might buy one that goes for 4 years. Well, that makes it more affordable. If you would expect that you might only need extra coverage, you would need the long-term care insurance for 4 years. You're not going to need it for 40. That's maybe approachable for some people, right?
Right. It is approachable. And you know, I believe, frankly, they're advertisers on WGN.
Yeah.
Murray and his son, Brian Gordon.
Gordon
are
and
the
Associates.
People, yeah, Gordon and Associates out in Northbrook are the people that both Terry and I work with.
Yeah, and I know them, and I know they do a good job. Hey, Kerry Peck, my father passed away this September. He was the last parent to pass away, so now it's just me and my brother. My brother is the executor, which is fine with me, but my brother will not give me a copy of my dad's will. He thinks I have something up my sleeve. All I'm asking for is a copy of the will. I never saw something like this would happen when you see it outside with other families, but never thought that would happen to me. How do I get a copy of my father's will without spending a lot of money on a lawyer?
Well, if your brother has been appointed executor by a court, by a probate court, the law requires that the original will be filed within 30 days of the death of your father. So no matter what county you live in, Cook, Lake, DuPage, etc., that will should have been filed with the clerk of the circuit court in that county. And if, again, your brother was appointed by a judge executor, there's no question that that will be on file. You can go to the county clerk's office, and you can get it for probably approximately $15.
Now, that's, you said if he was appointed. Is that different than maybe some other way? That is, what if the dad just made out a will, but it wasn't appointed?
Well, if the brother was not appointed executor, then I'm not sure under what authority he's acting. In Illinois, if we have assets in excess of $150,000 in a decedent's name alone, which, for example, if I die with $151,000 in cash and I have a will naming you, John, to be my executor, you're going to have to file that will, be appointed. If it's under $150,000, we can use what's called a small estates affidavit, and the executor could do that without ever being appointed. So there's a threshold there between $150,000 and below.
I've never even thought about an executor with a will. I just thought, Brenda and I made out a will. We have an estate plan. It's in a drawer somewhere. So if we pass away, don't the kids just open up the will and see who gets what? I mean, there's no authority here. It is what it is, right?
Well, if, again, potentially, you know, a lot of people have their assets in joint tenancy. If you and Brenda have your assets in joint tenancy, and for purposes of our discussion, you pass away first, everything goes to her. And thereafter, you're likely to need an executor, unless you leave payable on death beneficiaries or you put assets in joint tenancy with your children. So assets that are in a decedent's name alone require the administration of a probate court appointment of an executor.
So somebody's got to administer the dispersion of the assets that are spelled out in the will.
Right. If again, they exceed $150,000 in that individual's name alone.
Yeah, right. So this guy wants to see a copy of it. So if the brother did everything legally, if it's done properly, then there's a copy of it at the county?
Copy at the county.
Of the will. Of your will is a copy of it at the county.
And, well, the law requires, regardless of whether it's administered or not, and frankly, very few people follow it, it must be filed with the county within 30 days of the date of death.
Right, right, right. So while Brenda and I made out a will, the county doesn't have a copy of it because we're alive.
Right.
But when we pass away, somebody's got to hand that over to the county, and that would be the executor.
Right.
And how often does that happen?
Well, when the executor is filing for his or her appointment, I mean, in my law firm, we file wills almost every day because not only do we, you know, people passing away, but their family needs to be appointed executor by a probate court. We go in and say, Carrie died, his family is XYZ, he has assets XYZ, it's all in documentation. Judge Jones, please appoint someone as executor.
Right. Because I guess if mom and dad die, regardless of what the will says, I'm not just going to call up the bank and say, hey, guess what? My mom and dad are dead. And according to the will, I get their checking account. They're not going to give me the money. They want some proof of that. That's what you're talking about.
They want proof that the court, probate court in all the counties issue what's called a letters of office. So letters of office, it contains a little seal from the clerk of the circuit court. And you need to take that to the bank to get the do-re-mi.
So, one last question here. This listener says, in the state of Illinois, are you required to have witnesses in signing of that will?
Absolutely. Two disinterested witnesses. That means they can't inherit under the terms of the will. When you did your will, John, if you named your children, if you named Brenda, they can't be witnesses, okay? And in Illinois, we notarize wills. So, it's two disinterested witnesses and a notary. Typically, the law firm that's doing the will, in our law firm, we provide witnesses. It's not a problem. We provide the notary.
Just one last question about this guy's case then. So the mother and father passed away. It's the brother and the other guy are left. There's a will. I guess that brother, though, is not going to be able to extract the assets, claim them, if it doesn't go through
probate, post-death probate.
And at that point, if the sibling is also included in the will, then he'll get his share presumably as well, right? It'll certainly be public to him. He'll know what the deal was.
Correct. So let's use our hypothetical. If, in fact, the second to die is gone, they leave assets in excess of $150,000, and it's in their name alone, the will requires probate. The individual, the executor, goes in and says, I'm the executor of my mom's will, and my brother and I are beneficiaries. The law requires, the court requires, we prove who the heirs, H-E-I-R-S, is of mom. Will says 50% each. Executor needs to turn over 50%. Anston needs typically to file an accounting with the court and a receipt that his brother's got his 50%.
Yeah. Can both be the executor? Can you say we're co-executors?
You can, but it generally is not a good idea. It causes more fighting than there normally is.
Right, because maybe it's a mundane decision about care or finances. Now you will both have equal weight. Now how do we break the tie?
We go into court and we fight.
We hire Carrie Peck at the Peck Ritchie Law Firm.
There you go. You got that answer.
Our number's 312-981-7200. One last thing, Carrie. We need to take a break. And we'll come back with your questions. You have a conundrum or a situation, 312-981-7200 is the number. You frequently say, though, that another thing that you guys get involved in is mom or dad has passed away, and now there is a new love interest or a special friend that has access to the monies. Is that's a big part of your business, right?
Well, it is a big part of my business, and typically we're seeing now an epidemic of caregivers taking advantage of older adults that may be cognitively impaired, and they have them sign wills, and they have them sign trusts, they have them buy them cars, things of that nature. But a big part of our business also is a scenario in which, in your hypothetical, What if the executor, Brother A, persuaded Mom and Dad to cut out Brother B?
Yeah.
Okay? So those are will contest cases, big part of our business, and the allegations are that Mom and Dad lacked mental capacity and or were unduly influenced by the brother who gets the money and cuts out his other brother.
Dorothy, you're on WGN. How can we help you? Go ahead.
Yes, I have all of my accounts, annuities, IRAs, CDs with my children as beneficiaries. Will that go to probate, or is that good enough?
Pardon me.
If everything's in beneficiary designations, you should be able to avoid probate. But there are some documents you need to get done during your lifetime. You should have powers of attorney done for you. Power of attorney for health care, naming one or more of the children to make decisions for you regarding your medical care when you can't make your own decisions. And likewise, you want to use a power of attorney for property. So in the event you can't sign documents as a result of some medical malady, you have somebody named to do that. So I would strongly encourage you to consider getting those done. But if your accounts are all beneficiary designated, it will not go to probate.
So good luck to you, Dorothy. Thank you for that question. And then maybe that's the same thing here. If one has a trust, does that bypass probate?
Typically, if you have what's commonly known as a revocable living trust, the purpose of putting your assets in that trust is to bypass probate. So it sounds like you're in the right direction.
Hey, Carrie, if I'm due an inheritance, but I pass during the probate time, does the money go to my spouse or does it go to my kids as the person I am inheriting it from stated?
Well, the document under which you inherit may or may not lay out who it goes to, but typically it goes down to your kids. It might go to your spouse. We really need to see the documents.
My aunt never married and had no children and has no will. What happens when she passes?
The law requires that we determine heirship, H-E-I-R-S-H-I-P, to determine who the closest relatives are. You may be the closest relative.
Yeah, my aunt.
Right, if she had no children.
So evidently no spouse and no kids. So then this is the aunt. Would it go to the siblings then next?
Yeah, it should go to the aunt's siblings, which, you know.
And if there's none of those, then maybe nieces and nephews?
Correct.
Yeah. What about Maggie? You're on WGN with Carrie Peck. Hi, Maggie.
Hi. How long can an executor take to distribute funds after everything's been settled?
Well, it's often a major issue in dispute, Maggie. I would suggest that, you know, the law requires the estate be opened a minimum of 6 months. Sounds like you're well beyond that. And
yes.
What you ought to do is get a lawyer and go into court and compel the distribution.
Okay.
Maggie, wait, so okay, somebody's passed away and you're due some of the assets and they still haven't sent them or given you access to them. Is that it?
Correct.
How long has it been?
Well, in excess of, well, my brother passed away in February of last year, and my other brother's the executor. And all the assets, everything was in trust, no probate. It was an estate in excess of $2 million. It split between, 80% of it was split between three of us, and the remaining 20 is going to nieces and nephews.
What's he telling you the and reason just, why he hasn't distributed?
It just, it's one thing after another. And all the funds are in a account that his fam, one of his kids' in-laws works for.
Let me ask you this. So do you worry, do you think that they're spending that money down now, that when you finally get your share, it'll be less than it should be?
Well, he knows I know how much it is.
Oh.
So, I mean, it's, I would hope he wouldn't do that, but, you
okay.
know, it's just getting... Now, supposedly, the accountant sent him a 30-page document he's got to fill out.
Yeah, I was going to say he's going to tell you it's the taxes. So, you know, get the taxes done, get yourself a lawyer, go into the court, the probate court, and compel the distribution.
Maggie, good luck to you on that. But just the takeaway for the rest of us is 6 months? It's supposed to be distributed within 6 months?
Well, after 6 months. And it could take several months thereafter to get the tax returns done and
really?
Approved
Mom
by the
and Dad,
government.
I don't understand why it takes so long. I mean, the documents are sealed, and it's here's the deed to the house, and there's the bank account, and there's the mutual funds.
Under Illinois law, creditors have 6 months to file claims.
Oh, so we got to wait for everybody to take their piece.
Right.
Could really?
Be medical
really?
Creditors. Or
really?
Others.
So if they have outstanding hospital bills, credit card bills, that all gets paid before I do?
Yep.
How do we feel about that?
Not good.
But I guess those people are due money. It could be a local store, and those people rendered a service or sold a product.
Vast majority of the times, it's medical bills.
Does the executor get paid, and how much?
Executor does get paid, and it's typically subject to court approval. It's usually on an hourly basis. Most executors get paid $75 an hour, approximately. Depends on what the judge concludes and how much work the executor did and how complex the estate is.
Just trying to figure out what the executor does. I mean,
well, the executor basically gathers the assets, pays the bills, and makes the distributions.
Yeah. Well, that could be several hours, right?
Well, it could be a lot. I mean, depending on the complexity of the estate, depending on how the assets are titled.
Joe is gone. Okay, Joe, then we'll go to, where do we go next, producer Pete? That would be Karen. You're on WGN with Carrie Peck. What can we do for you, Karen? You're on the air.
Yes, thank you. I recently learned about a transfer on death instrument, which I guess is applicable and you can use it for real estate. My question is it also applicable for a mobile home? And does that help you avoid probate?
Quite honestly, I don't think it's applicable to anything but real estate. So that's my belief.
Yeah, and a mobile home is probably not real estate.
Mobile home would be considered personal property.
Yeah,
much
okay.
like a car.
Karen, good luck to you. If you've got further questions, and to everybody else, maybe a quick question here. Hi, Mr. Peck. If I have beneficiaries listed on all accounts, is it necessary to put the accounts and houses in my trust? I've already named beneficiaries. Do I have to also put them in the trust?
Typically, the answer is no. And if you put beneficiaries on your houses, probably not. But it's really important that you make sure all the paperwork is done, because we typically find that people believe they have beneficiaries and they don't.
We're out of time, Mr. Peck.
Well, thank you, John. Appreciate it. If we can help the audience, please call me at 312-201-0900. We offer an initial free consultation, and we look forward to working with your listeners.
312-201-0900 and peckritchie.com. It's always a pleasure to have you come in. The phones get very busy. I'm always a little amused and always a little sad and always a little terrified with these kinds of conversations. But thank you for the resource.
My pleasure. It's always a pleasure to see you and appear on your show.